think you're what they say you are. Ricky Lee, superstar. Do you think you're what they say you are?
It's showtime with Ricky Lee. Thank you for joining me here on 101.5 Huntley Community Radio, with streaming and podcasts available at huntleyradio.com. Continuing our series, Profiling Different Actors, today my guest is Jamie Ewing, who audiences will recognize for his highly heralded theatrical appearances in such productions as A Few Good Men and Hamlet. A little while back, I heard from Jamie that he was getting an agent to pursue television and film work. I knew right away that this was the kind of experience that listeners would love to hear about. So I asked Jamie if he'd come on the show from time to time to update us on his progress. So here to talk about the process so far is Jamie Ewing. Welcome to the show, Jamie.
Hey, good morning, Ricky Lee. Thanks for having me back.
Now to get
it was nice to be here with you.
Oh, I love interviewing you. You are such a great guest. Now to get started, let's focus on your background as an actor. How did you get started in the arts?
Well, like many actors, you know, it's just kind of a thing that's in the blood where really what we're doing is, as adults, we're pretending the same way we used to when we were kids. So, you know, it all started in the playground in the backyard. I just always had a knack for, you know, building worlds and play acting. And, it started for me with, imitating superheroes and playing dress up with, you know, different comic book characters and kind of developing my own stories and my own plot lines, quote unquote. So that was sort of how it all started. You know, as far as how I matriculated, quote unquote, I got a theater degree from Central College in Pella, Iowa. And then immediately afterwards, I started working on the local theater scene in Iowa City, Iowa, where the University of Iowa was at. My wife was a student there. We met and got married and moved to Chicago, 2002. And then I kind of took we started a family a little while after that, and I took a long hiatus, you know, from acting of any kind, and sort of came back into things at the end of 2017. And, you know, knock wood, you know, thankful to say, you know, I've got somewhere between a dozen and 15 credits now in the time intervening, and kind of going, you know, trying to hit the professional track here.
Well, let's go back to the beginning in Iowa. You started playing pretend as a kid.
Back the mist of time.
Yes, yes. Did you have, you had formal education. You pursued a theater degree, correct?
Yeah, that's correct.
What was your formal education in the arts like?
Well, it's very typical of the foundational things you'd find in a liberal arts theater program. You know, you have the combination of the history. I did have a focus on acting and directing. So while I had some background in backstage and, you know, stagecraft and set and light design, et cetera, my main focus was on acting and directing. So, you kind of get a, in a liberal arts program, you don't have like the same singular focus like you would in, say, a Meisner program, where you're focusing only on one particular technique. You're kind of looking at a synthesized version of the different tools and techniques that actors can draw from. So, you know, you get the standard Stanislavski, you know, slash method version of acting. You get exposed to, you know, like I said, Sanford Meisner and the prep work that's typical of that school of thought. And, you know, just a broad synthesis of different styles and techniques.
Now, this was all in Iowa. And after you graduated college, you indicated that you started working in the local theater scene.
Yeah, I was a mainstay for a couple of years with a company called Dreamwell Theater, which is actually still active and thriving, you know, up until the pandemic, and I'm sure they'll be back, you know, as soon as they safely can. And they were a sort of a, you know, I don't want to say insurgent or guerrilla, but they were a small group that was comprised of a group of students who worked together in college, and they, you know, they stayed local to Iowa City after they graduated and formed this company. And it was, you know, it was up from your bootstraps kind of company. Most of the performances that I took place in, and for several years after I was out of the scene, took place in a Unitarian church basement, you know. So it was all very, it was, you know, black box on the go kind of thing, you know, very, very small productions. But they, you know, they were interested in doing newer works, more edgy works. You know, they weren't just consistently doing, you know, Neil Simon and A.R. Gurney plays and crowd pleasers. You know, there was definitely a tendency to look at things that had interesting social aspects, things that were thought provoking, and made the audience do a little work in their mind.
And you worked primarily with just that one theater company?
Yeah, I did. Oddly enough, the last shows, which were two Tom Stoppard plays done together in one evening, After Magritte and The Real Inspector Hound, I did that with the local community theater, but otherwise everything I did in Iowa City was with Dreamwell.
Okay.
And you should check them out. They're real good people. They've had a lot of people consistently stick with them for several years, but they're always kind of, you know, newer students at the University of Iowa are coming in and working with them. You know, older folks who have been away from the theater for several years are coming back. And so it's an interesting cross-section of talent and skill levels and ranges.
Do you ever get back there to see a show?
I haven't been back for several years, unfortunately. The last time I was actually there, I attended it. It was actually kind of one of the things that got me going right back into things in 2017. They were having a 20th anniversary celebration, and a young woman was making kind of like a tribute video to show at the, or testimonial, tribute / testimonial video that they were going to show at the anniversary banquet. So she contacted several people who had, you know, both who are still active or had been active at the time, and people who were with Dreamwell several years ago and had left. Someone passed along my name. I did, you know, kind of an hour long interview with her, and it sort of, I was already looking outward to, you know, getting back into things. You know, I'm in the Crystal Lake area, so I was primarily reaching out to the WSR group, you know, in the Rao. But I, you know, was kind of doing my research and due diligence as to what groups were in the Fox River area. Because I figured it made more sense to get started closer to me before I really started making the plunge. So everything's been, I don't want to say calculated, but it's all been very, everything's, every move has kind of seemed to evolve out of the previous one naturally and fluidly. So
now you indicated that you, life kind of got in the way for a little while, and you took a break from acting. Is that correct?
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't say it got in the way so much. You know, it's just like you shift lanes and your priorities switch depending on, you know, where you're at in your life.
And you got to the Chicagoland area, you relocated. What was your process like in terms of getting back into theater once you arrived in Illinois?
Well, I kind of hit the ground running initially. I mean, I came to Chicago with a professional headshot. I had done the research as far as, you know, what you needed to do in terms of submitting. And this was back in the day when Perform Inc. was still an actual paper, you know, so you're picking that up from, I can't remember the name of the shop, but there was a theater and a script shop on Broadway in Chicago. I lived in Lakeview. So I would stop by, every Wednesday or Thursday, whatever day it was, and pick up the performing and kind of scour the classifieds and that for things to submit. And I submitted, I'd say probably 3-4 dozen things, within the first couple months. I actually landed a role in a, like a very short amount of time in a with a small company. It was very typical Chicago storefront. We don't own this space. We're not living here, but we're going to perform here for a couple weeks. It was a, just a small, self-written production that another group of like-minded college students or just graduated college students and come up with. And it was sort of a combination of, I hate to say it, but it's, for a couple of years, I had kind of been, I don't want to say calling the shots, but I mean, I had actually been on the board of Dreamwell. So it's like I had an ownership stake in terms of what we came up with, how we picked our shows for our season and everything. So I had a little bit of, the young ego and fire that a young actor will have. And I was kind of, I would say I was probably a little starstruck, a little, not ready for the switch in the different culture, the artistic cultures. And from a personal standpoint too, I just kind of hit a period where, as you do sometimes in your 20s, you kind of hit this skid where you have a little existential crisis. And I kind of faded back, hit the pause button. And then as I was just as I was getting ready to kind of, like, okay, I think I'm on top of this now. I think I'm ready to go. Then we find out we're going to have our first kid. And like I said, priorities shift. And it's not, I don't look at it so much as a stepping away as, like I said, changing lanes. And the life experience that I garnered in that process is what made me more prepared and more well-rounded as an actor now, of a certain age, quote unquote.
You're listening to It's Showtime with Ricky Lee on 101.5 Huntley Community Radio, with streaming and podcasts available at huntleyradio.com. Today, I'm joined by actor Jamie Ewing. So you started a family, had to take a little break from performing. What got you back into performing again?
Well, I wish I could say that there was like one defining moment, that one anecdote worthy. This is a perfect nugget to share with your listeners kind of thing. It was just, it was always in me. It was always part of me. And, circumstances changed where my kids were a little older, you're not having to juggle daycare and little league games and, that kind of stuff. After a certain point, and they're able to take care of themselves, and you start reassessing the things that really mean a lot to you and the things that really give you fire and fulfillment. And like I said, it was just, even that part of it was just an evolutionary process. But the real linchpin, if I could identify it, is probably when I had that interview for the Dreamwell memorial, or testimonial banquet.
So a few months ago, you decided to get an agent and pursue film and television work. What was that decision process like?
Well, it was, for me, it was always a, I, it was honestly like a foregone conclusion, even from early on. I mean, I remember even when I was in Iowa City, when I was first looking at going to Chicago, I don't want to say like vision board, because I don't do vision boards, and I've never been the type of person to do vision boards. No offense to people who do vision boards. That's great if it works for you. But I mean, internally, my quote unquote internal vision board, I always had sort of a goal of having a, kind of a career path like, a John Malkovich or a Gary Sinise. So I always gravitated towards, I would really like to perform at Steppenwolf someday.
Mm-hmm.
So that was kind of the guiding light, if you will, when I left Iowa City. And even when I came, and that was like a very specific thing, more drawn out of the fact that I was not from the area, so I didn't have a full sense of like what the whole full scale of Chicago theater could be like, or you know, or an acting career in Chicago could be. So I didn't have like a firm idea of about of doing things on camera. But as I started getting back into things, you know, in 2017, 2018, you know, I by that point, you know, I'd spent several, you know, well over a decade in corporate life. And, you know, if I can have an opportunity to make my livelihood doing something that is out of that environment and, you know, on set, you know, doing something that's more fulfilling, I mean, hey, if that means doing theater and then also doing, you know, film and commercial, voiceover, you know, whatever it may be, you know, then all to the good.
And what was your first step in securing an agent?
Well, my first step was, you know, just kind of doing my due diligence, getting a sense of the lay of the land, like what the different agencies in Chicago were targeted for. And, you know, because you have different
specialties.
You know, different specialties, different focuses. So I was trying to find, you know, I did my research to kind of find, you know, the 10 or 15 that I thought would be good potential fits. I kind of prioritized them. And, you know, I just started sending out submissions. Before I did so, since I hadn't had, I'd really only had on-camera experience with a handful of student films when I was in college, you know, back in the golden age. So, you know, there was no footage there that was going to be usable as far as creating a demo reel to show any potential agents what I could do. So I used went to the Forge, which is an organization in Chicago. It's led by Sarah Clark, one of the main casting director at, I think it's Compass Casting. That's the name. It's escaping me for a second. And I filmed some demo reel footage. And actually I was lucky enough to work with a couple of actresses I've worked with in the past. So I was able to get some really good, honest material, you know, that represented me well. Got the demo reel comprised, and, you know, I just started sending out submissions, and, you know, it was actually a pretty quick process. I mean, it sounds kind of crazy now to, you know, when I verbalize it out, but I mean, I started my first submissions at the, you know, just after midpoint of March. I signed on with my agent, mid-April, and early May I was on set for my first commercial shoots.
So what agent did you end up signing with?
I'm represented by Paige Ellman, Paige Model and Talent.
And what made them stand out?
Well, we had a really, Paige and I had a really good conversation. You know, she had a good sense of, you know, having seen my resume and my reel of what I was about and what I was capable of, what my range was. And I was, you know, I felt like she had my best interest as far as my, you know, long-term career path goes. And at this point, I don't want to put a hard end target on things. I mean, it's all accruing, you know, additional credits, additional experience. You know, I'm also taking some on-camera coursework at the Vagabond School of the Arts in Chicago with Robin Coffin, who's will actually be familiar to people from the Chicago shows. And all of that experience is just to, you know, move me on down the line. You know, if it ends up being, you know, one day I have to make a decision that I have to go to a broader market and, you know, work out of New York or LA or consider getting an agent there. Well, so be it.
Now, you signed with your agent, and did they start sending you out right away on auditions?
Pretty quickly, yeah. Within a couple weeks, I was submitting, yeah.
And did you have to go into the city for the auditions, or did you do self-tapes?
No, right now the vast majority of submissions are being done via self-tape, and I expect, you know, and general word on the street is that once, you know, the pandemic kind of is quelled and things sort of normalize again, there's going to be a certain component of that that's never really going to go away, because it's so much more economically feasible for these agencies and casting groups to work with people remotely or just to receive their materials. And, you know, because if you have a reasonably decent iPhone or Android and some basic editing technology, you can put together a pretty reasonably good scene to provide them that you know, if you know, you get a good ring light, some 3-point lighting and a background, and I mean you're pretty much doing in your own home what you can be doing in the audition room.
And so, you secured a part pretty quickly, a booking, is that correct?
Yeah, I recently did it was a Feltco commercial.
Awesome. Can you tell us about...
Am I allowed to say brands on?
I don't know if
that's offset. But yeah, that's actually airing in regionally, I believe. I know several people have reached out to me already with the tagline in the Chicagoland area, but I think it's also showing up in different markets too.
And so you did this commercial for Feltco. Is the character development process different than what you did for theater?
yeah, absolutely. I mean, the way I would put it is you're really only doing things in a very broad gestural way, because, you know, let's face it, you've got 15 to 30 seconds total, and you're maybe in about, depending on the commercial, you're maybe in 5, maybe 10 seconds of the thing max. I think I'm probably, you know, 5 is about right for this one. So, you know, everything is bigger. Everything is generally high energy. You know, you gotta snap them too right away. And so much is done. So much is out of your control. You know, it's done and it's mainly comprised of the editing process. So, you know, you just kind of hit your mark. And I kind of, my own internal philosophy about it is, it's like every time I'm doing a shot in one of those commercials, I'm trying to imagine I'm stepping on stage for the first time in a show. So I want to, you know, I want to catch the audience right away. I want to, you know, be heard, be seen. But yeah, it's, you're not doing like any real deep character analysis or character development. You know, you're a type, you're a caricature in some cases.
Now, from the time that you auditioned for the Feltco commercial until you got booked, what was the time period of that?
It was a pretty quick turnaround. I think I submitted it on a Saturday, and I think I found out I got it on a Wednesday.
Nice.
And I believe it was all in the same week. I think it was Saturday submitted, Wednesday confirmed, Friday on set, which is, you know, with commercials, sometimes that's the, you know, they're working on a quick turnaround because some places are doing them in-house, you know, so they've got to do, and I think that was the case with this, where they do all of the marketing, not just the on-camera stuff, but the digital and the media stuff. So... They got to compile a bunch of stuff as quickly as they can.
And have you had any other successful bookings so far?
Yeah, I did one other local commercial in Wisconsin. And then I don't think that is on air yet. Should be, you know, later on this month. And yeah, just wait for the next one.
And what is your process like in terms of the auditioning? Do you just churn them out, and is it a numbers game?
Yeah, kind of. Yeah, I mean, you gotta, you know, as you know, being an actor yourself, that you kind of have to just allay any fears about rejection and kind of set that aside, and you have to accept the fact that it's sort of like baseball. You know, if you're hitting, if you're striking out or making an out 7 out of 10 times, you're doing really, really good. So you just got to set aside that fear and, you know, put in your best performance every time. But there, you know, there's so much that depends on the circumstances that are out of your control. Like once you submit that, I mean, they may have a certain look in mind, a certain type in mind. The main thing is to remember that if they are asking you to submit, they saw something in you that appealed to them in some sense. So you've already crossed the threshold. So you kind of have to put the fear and the ego stuff away and just do your best and, you know, let things carry you where they may.
You've been listening to It's Showtime with Ricky Lee on 101.5 Huntley Community Radio. Today, we've been visiting with Jamie Ewing, an incredibly talented actor, currently pursuing film and television work in the Chicagoland area. Jamie, it has been a sincere pleasure. I'm sure our listeners will look forward to your next visit, and I certainly am myself. Thank you so much for spending time with us today.
Oh, I really appreciate it, Ricky Lee. Thanks so much for having me back.